Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank our clergy for reminding us of the presence of God in our lives. Amen to that, right? Amen. I want to also thank history-making Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart Cousins for her partnership over my many years now in elective office. Thank you. Thank you. Speaker Carl Heastie, I want to thank you for your friendship, advice, but also for the last 3 years opening up the assembly chamber to us. A little more room here, Carl. Another history maker, our great Attorney General Tish James. I want to thank you. Our Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Our Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. Assembly Member Crystal Peoples Stokes. Senate Minority Leader Robert Ort, Assembly Minority Leader Will Barkley, and all the judges of the Court of Appeals led by Rowan Wilson. I want to thank them for their presence here today. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has joined us. All the mayors and county executives from across the state, representatives from labor and the business community, I want to welcome them as well. Members of my cabinet and senior team, I'm in awe of you. I thank every one of you for all the incredible work you do on behalf of the people of this state. Thank you. Thank you. I'm also very proud to acknowledge New York's first ever first gentleman, my husband, your first gentleman, Bill Hochul. My fellow New Yorkers, as we reflect on the state of our great state, the Empire State, two things are very clear to me. Our future depends on the ability of every family to afford the essentials of life, and our ability to protect the safety and security of our residents. But we will not achieve these goals without a fight. So my commitment to every New Yorker is this: your family is my fight. This has been the impetus and the inspiration for everything we've done for the last 3 years. When we worked together and raised the minimum wage and tied it to inflation, because I and we believe that when costs go up, your wages should too. When we added jobs and boosted tuition assistance, education funding, public transit investments to the highest levels in history, it was because your family deserves the best opportunity for success. And when we battled insurance companies and ended copays for insulin, It was because your family's health was more important than insurance companies' profits. And we fought for paid prenatal leave. It was so expectant women can get medical care without losing their income, because the health of your baby and your family should always come first. And when we worked together, taking on the social media giants, we stood up against an army of lobbyists and lawsuits, and we won. It was to stop the addictive feeds that put corporate profits over your children's mental health. And we secured, working together, my partners in the legislature, the most consequential statewide housing policy in 50 years. And we affirmed that New York City is the city of yes, Mayor. It's signaled that we understand that a home for your family, it means everything. And we did all this because your family deserves more money in their pockets, as well as a place they can proudly call their home. And I'll say this, I know our work is not done. Worries about crime, struggles to make ends meet are far too common. Our state has to be livable, and the people here have to be afforded to live in it. And we'll keep fighting for our families and children and continue delivering for them. Safe streets and subways, housing that's truly affordable, and fast public transit that's dependable, and dependable infrastructure. Today I'm going to share my vision for New York, where hardworking people can get ahead, where children can play in neighborhoods safely, where opportunities are plentiful, and where champions are forged. That's how I felt growing up. Parents could put food on the table because they had good union jobs at the steel mills, at the Ford plant, the GM plant, or whatever. It was those jobs. And they always believed that their children would have the same opportunities or even better. It's not to say that times weren't hard sometimes. My parents started married life in a trailer. My brother was born. When I came along, not long after, we moved to a cramped apartment in the shadow of the steel plant where my dad, my uncles, and grandpa worked. Mom scrimped and saved to feed what eventually grew to a family of eight. She made those Spam sandwiches. Anybody have Spam? Sorry, Mom, I shouldn't say that. Those Spam sandwiches were made on bread that was expired, that came out of our freezer. We bought our clothes at used clothing stores or on layaway. But I'll tell you this, we never felt trapped by our circumstances, and we never gave up hope. Let me give you an example. When I was 13 years old, kind of the time of the British invasion and Twiggy, you're all too young, I get it. But I had my eyes on this very stylish red plastic raincoat. Yeah, it was cool back then. It was in a women's store on Main Street. It was an extravagance that I knew I could never ask my parents to pay for. So I saved every penny I could babysitting, 50 cents an hour. It took months. But buying that coat with my own money felt like such an achievement. Proof to a young teenager that with hard work and perseverance, anything was possible. But a few years later, that store and many of the stores around it went dark. The Five and Dime, the soda counter, the last of the remaining clothing stores were all gone. It was the 1970s. Inflation was at 13%. Crime was out of control. Factories were shutting down. Our land, our air, and our water were so polluted. The world was changing. So many communities lost that factory, took the hit, and struggled to get back up. Whether people labored at Bethlehem Steel in Buffalo, Kodak in Rochester, Carrier in Syracuse, Ennicott Johnson in the Southern Tier, or Northrop Grumman on Long Island. Over the years, people just felt so betrayed. They had done everything they were supposed to do, but the jobs left. Every single one of my five siblings wanted to stay and had to leave home because jobs were more plentiful in other states. That really hurt. It wasn't just the jobs that were leaving, it was hope that was leaving too. I tell you this not to give you a history lesson, but to reinforce why these fights are so personal to me. And I feel like this happened just yesterday. And this is not history. It's the same way the millennials felt in 2008, 2009, 2010, when the Great Recession undermined their futures. I'll tell you this. I don't ever want the people of this state, our neighbors, to have the same sense of anxiety that was so pervasive when I was younger. That's why I decided to stay and fight, witnessing the struggles and pain of those left behind inspired me to run for office, to be a voice for communities that had fallen on hard times because I had lived that experience. So today, I know all too well, many New Yorkers are struggling. Inflation, sky-high rents, wages that just don't feel like they can keep up, a changing economy, an influx of unexpected arrivals who had great needs, and an unsettled world. That's why I fight day in and day out to make New York healthier, cleaner, more affordable for you and your family. Because as I said, your family is my fight. Yesterday, I had a great experience. I met with over 200 high school seniors from Hudson Valley Community College as well. College students, high school students from all over the Capital District. They shared their hopes and their questions about the future. I won't tell you about them. Let's hear from them directly.
So today we're going to dive into some of the big ideas from your State of the State that directly impact us, the students and young people of New York. One of the things that on top of all this pressure that we feel, you know, peer pressure, et cetera, we're 17, 18 years old deciding what we're going to do with the rest of our lives. You touched on a little bit of perhaps what students are dreading as they look to the future. In light of the ongoing national debate on abortion rights, how do you plan to position New York as a safe haven, our teen mental health first aid training program that you've mentioned, if you could kind of speak to what this first aid training program aims to do. As climate change becomes an increasing concern, what kinds of initiatives do you plan to take to mitigate the effects in New York? Many of us in this room are also looking to the future, whether it's college or, you know, whatever path we choose.
My visit yesterday was a reminder of who we're fighting for. And that we must show them, these young people, that they can thrive here, that this is where their future is. Let me say this. A state of the state can be full of flowery rhetoric and still fail to address the needs of the people. I believe it needs to be much more than just lofty words. It should be a concrete blueprint that'll deliver actual results that people will feel. That's what New Yorkers expect. And that is what you'll see here today. A bold, actionable plan for 2025 that addresses affordability and public safety head on. Let's start with affordability. And how we all plan, and I plan, to put more money back in your pockets. First, I'm calling for a sweeping middle-class tax cut, benefiting 8.3 million taxpayers making less than $323,000. The tax cut I propose today and will fight for in the coming months will deliver the lowest tax rates in 70 years. And it'll save hardworking taxpayers $1 billion. By itself, it's a monumental win for New Yorkers in the battle for affordability. But that's just the start. The fact is, many Americans, not just New Yorkers, have been hit hard by inflation since COVID. Because prices went up, our sales tax revenue went up as well. But I believe this. That extra money does not belong in state coffers. It belongs back in your pocket. And that's why I proposed the first ever, the nation's first, inflation refund. Now, under my plan, we'll return billions and billions of dollars in surplus sales tax revenue directly to 8.6 million hardworking New Yorkers. I'm talking about seniors. I'm talking about recent grads. I'm talking about families bringing in less than $300,000 a year. This makes a difference. $300 for individuals, $500 for a family. I've spoken to many of them. They are very excited about this. This is real money back in their pockets. So let's check. What do we have so far? An historic middle-class tax cut, inflation rebate checks. But that's not all. Families with children, they are the ones who need additional relief. And as New York's first mom governor, I know personally that the earliest years are the most expensive. Diapers, formula, clothes that they outgrow every 3 months. And that's why back in 2023, I worked with the legislature to make our child tax credit available for kids under the age of 4 for the first time ever. And this extended a financial lifeline to over 600,000 more families, because it made zero sense to me that this credit only came available when our kids were almost in kindergarten, right? Just a few days ago, I met Tasia Brown, a mom of 3. She also had a 2-year-old. She told me that when she received a check last year, it felt like her birthday. She paid her utility bill, bought some extra groceries, and then she treated her kids to dinner, something that was so rare for her. That's what I'm talking about. It makes a difference. And this year, I want to support our families even more, tripling the maximum benefit to $1,000. $1,000 for babies and kids up to 4, and in 2026, will boost the credit for school-age children even higher to $500. For parents, it's more food on the table, more supplies in the backpack for 2.7 million children. If you think about it, it makes good economic sense. Every dollar invested in the child tax credit will generate $1.25 in economic activity. That's spent in local stores, spent in our local businesses. Now, there's another huge driver of costs for families that we need to confront. Childcare. Yep. Oh, yeah. Daycare costs over $21,000 a year. Now, if you're making minimum wage, it doesn't add up. That cost is 155% higher than a public college tuition in our state. It's like paying a second rent for so many families. And I know how hard it is to make life work without childcare because I lived it. When my kids were young, I had to leave my job because I couldn't find accessible, affordable childcare. I loved that job and everything I worked for. I didn't know if it would be derailed. I ended up okay. We're good. But I didn't at the time know I'd get my career back on track, and so many moms across the state of New York feel the same way. They can tell the same story. I want to partner with the legislature to put our state on a pathway toward universal child care. That really matters. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's get it done. In the meantime, we're going to dedicate $110 million to build new child care centers, renovate existing ones, and expand options for families and communities all over New York. And we'll establish a core of substitute child care professionals so someone's always on call. Think about that. Now, here's the thing. When the little ones become older, we also have to support them in school in countless ways. This starts with the most important meal of the day, breakfast, and goes on to lunch. The research is crystal clear. The children who grew up hungry score lower on tests and underperform. Think about it as adults, when you're hungry, your stomach's growling, you're not performing your best even at work. It pains me to think, as a mom, it pains me to think that little kids' stomachs are growling when they're sitting in school and they're supposed to be learning. In the wealthiest nation in the world, this can no longer be tolerated. Not in America, and definitely not in the great state of New York. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Under my proposal, every child will get free breakfast and free lunch in school. So children who are in need are spared the embarrassment and stigma of standing out among their peers. That is now over. And I'm proud to say there's actually some people in this room who help us make this dream a reality. People that are often overlooked and taken for granted. They never should be. I'm talking about the school lunch staff at Albany School District. They work so hard. Please stand. Let's give them a round of applause. Thanks for feeding our kids. Thank you. Thanks for feeding our kids. Thank you. And parents, if you've ever had to get kids ready for school in the morning, can you imagine not having to worry about breakfast or lunch? That's a gift of time, the most precious commodity for harried parents, right? But let me mention something even better, the savings. As much as $1,600 each year back in your wallet per child, not having to spend the money. My friends, what I'm talking about overall, it adds up to nearly $5,000. $5,000. Now, if there's cynics among you, you don't believe me, pull out your own cell phone, get out the calculator, and you can check it. Okay? Let's see what this means for a family. Let's say two little ones, $1,000 each, child tax credit, one school-aged, another $500, meal savings, $1,600 for that child. While you're at it, throw in the $500 for your family rebate, plus your tax cut savings. Now we're approaching $5,000 in real money back in your pockets. That's how we make New York more affordable. And we will never stop finding ways to put money back in your pockets. This is something I've done every year as governor. But there's another fight that I'll continue to take on. Our state must be livable and safe. My fight for your family also means New Yorkers feel secure on the streets, on our subways, in their communities. And we're going to do this with common sense measures that everyone can get behind. Because people should be able to get to work in the morning, attend a play, enjoy restaurants, without the fear of random violence or dodging someone in the midst of a mental health crisis. We cannot allow our subway to be a rolling homeless shelter. We've invested $1 billion already in reforming our mental health system, working with the legislature. They know how important this is. I want to thank them for partnering with me on that. As part of this investment, we've dedicated teams working day and night, working with the city to help get severely ill and homeless off our subways into supportive housing. But we know it's not enough. Our laws must be stronger. And that's why I'm willing to stand up and say we need to expand involuntary commitment into a hospital to include someone who does not have the mental capacity to care for themselves, such as refusing help for the basics, clothing, food, shelter, medical care. Now, critics will say this criminalizes poverty or homelessness. I say that is flat out wrong. This is about having the humanity and the compassion to help people incapable of helping themselves, fellow human beings who are suffering from mental illness and putting their lives and possibly the lives of others in danger. Julie LeClaire Neches is a tireless advocate who knows the importance of compassionate care. She lost her daughter, Alex, after a long battle with mental illness. Alex was a bright woman, attended Dartmouth and NYU. She dreamt of being a writer. Julie believes that her daughter would still be with us today if there had been stronger laws around involuntary commitment, and that if her daughter had not been released from the hospital prematurely. Please stand, Julie, and we thank you for using your voice through all your pain. Julie, thank you. Thank you. We also need to strengthen Kendra's Law so those with serious mental health challenges can get into long-term treatment instead of cycling in and out of the system or living on the streets. I know the phrase involuntary commitment reminds people of the prison-like institutions of the past, but that's not the objective of these proposals. We're in a different time now. As a result of our policies over the last 3 years, we've reshaped our mental health system with more doctors and more beds, more effective treatment options, and a more compassionate attitude toward care. Let's just be honest with ourselves. There's nothing compassionate about letting people suffer without treatment on the streets. And there's nothing compassionate about letting people put themselves or others at risk. Nothing, nothing compassionate about that. Now let's turn to subway safety. To reduce crime and the fear of crime, we've deployed over 1,250 state personnel, including the state police and the National Guard, to support the city and NYPD's efforts on the subway. And I insisted that every single subway car have cameras being used now to solve crimes. It's working. We've also strengthened the laws against assaulting commuters and MTA workers. And we've streamlined the coordination between our DAs and law enforcement to ensure that when crimes are committed, they're swiftly punished. We've put barriers on some stations to prevent people from being pushed on the tracks. But we need to accelerate these efforts. First, working with Mayor Adams, we'll surge more law enforcement once again and put even more there. I want to see more uniformed police officers, not just on the platforms, but more importantly, on every single train overnight, 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. for the next 6 months. And the state will support these efforts financially, because we have to stop the chaos. The physical infrastructure must be made safer as well. At my direction, the MTA will be installing even more barriers in 100 additional stations. Also, bright LED lighting in every station by the end of the year. And the shameless toll evaders, fare evaders, will finally be stopped with modernized gates. This will make the subway less chaotic, but also help strengthen the financial footing of the MTA. And we'll establish triage centers at the end of all the major routes where people can get off, get assistance 24/7. So to recap, this is the game plan. More police where they're needed, safety infrastructure, and critical interventions to help the homeless and mentally ill get the help they need instead of languishing on trains and frightening fellow commuters. I say this because enough is enough. The chaos must end now. I also say, in continuing my fight for the safety of your family, I'm also cracking down on domestic violence, especially when it occurs in homes with children. My mom was a champion for survivors of domestic violence. Her own home life was tough when she was young. And before she died, we worked side by side to create a safe haven for women and children who'd been abused. I saw in those children's eyes as we brought them into this shelter, there was no love. They'd not been raised with love. That's something they would carry with them the rest of their lives. All those kids deserve better. My mom would be so proud of the work we're doing today. So proud. And we're also working closely with law enforcement to apprehend and prosecute the rapists and to keep guns out of the hands of abusers. And when it comes to repeat offenders, I want them off the streets. And I want judges statewide to use all the powers in our recent bail law changes to stop the rinse and repeat cycle of offenders being released over and over without consequences, only to commit more crimes again. And I'll fight to finally close those loopholes that were created in our discovery laws that delay trials and lead to cases being thrown out on minor technicalities. Protecting your children online is another way I'll continue our fight for your family. As I referenced earlier, New York was the very first state in the nation to shield young people from addictive social media algorithms, succeeding where other states had failed. We'll take on the new and evolving dangers and defend our kids against harmful AI bots posing as friends. This is part of our continuing effort to make youth mental health a top priority, including investing in mental health first aid classes and clinics in our schools. But But to truly free our kids from social media, we must give them safe places to simply be kids. It's just common sense. That's why I'm launching the Unplug and Play Initiative. We'll build new playgrounds. We'll create hundreds of new opportunities for kids to join music and drama clubs, join youth volunteer organizations, sports teams. These activities are transformative. Just ask Brian Hernandez-Lopez, who's with us here today. Brian wandered into the Ring of Hope Boxing Club in Schenectady at the age of 13. He told the coaches at the time, "I just need some way to defend myself." And he fell in love not just with the sport, but how it made him feel, strong and hopeful, confident he could take on anything inside the ring and out. Today, Brian's finishing his associate's degree as a high school student while coaching younger kids at the club. Oh, his future's so much brighter. That's the power of these programs. Brian, please stand up. I've spoken thus far about affordability and our public safety agenda. Now let's turn to something that I also just believe is common sense. A stable home is the foundation of a stable life. But for far too many New Yorkers, it's a dream that feels impossibly out of reach. And I'm not the first one to say this, but the rent is too damn high. And that goes for people's mortgages as well. Housing is the number one driver of our affordability crisis. And the only way to decrease housing costs is to increase supply. We need to build and build and build some more. In my first day of the state address, I unveiled an ambitious plan to build or preserve over 100,000 units in 5 years. I'm proud that we're more than halfway to our goal and ahead of schedule. But more needs to be done. Let's invest an additional $100 million on top of the $650 million we invested for pro-housing communities. This will target a home ownership strategy that includes $100 million to build starter homes and provide a down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. And I'm proposing a housing development ombudsman, or woman, to streamline approvals and get the shovels in the ground sooner. And we also have to take a hard stance against the private equity firms that have strangled some of the housing markets across the country. We've seen it. You know what happens. A young family finds the home they've been searching for. They're so excited. They scrape together every dollar they have. And then they lose out to an all-cash offer from a faceless, nameless corporation with no connection to the community. Corporate landlords co-opt our housing stock for short-term rentals as well. Or even worse, they just let them sit there vacant while the values soar, and we need every one of them. That's why New York will do something no other state has done before and ban private equity companies from bidding on properties for the first 75 days that they're on the market. Thank you. That's how we'll ensure that single and two-family homes remain available for the families they were built for. And that's how we make homeownership possible for more New Yorkers. And if you're a renter, we'll also ban the price-fixing software that inflates rents and costs tenants $3.5 billion a year. As we've seen with our past battles, we can't unleash the full potential of the housing market without a fight. Seems like that's the way it is. Doesn't have to be, by the way, but that's what New Yorkers expect from us. I cannot and will not back down. We need to build more housing, full stop. And we're showing the same ambition in our investments in transportation, because our job is to get you where you need to go on safe roads and safe bridges and buses and trains and subways. And wherever possible, put more time back in your day. Just last week, I rode Metro North, walked around and talked to all the commuters. They were really happy to see me, I'm sure. No, actually, they're very nice. I told them I want to upgrade the stations and reduce commute times between Manhattan and Poughkeepsie, as much as 15 minutes each way. Now, if you add it up, that'll save commuters up to 130 hours a year. That benefits people like Helene Brown, who's with us here today with her nephew. She works at CUNY, commutes in every day from Yonkers. And I also think about all those Long Island Railroad riders I met on Friday. Talk to them about our strategy, including them as well. We have a lot to do. I love to build. I love transportation. I love infrastructure. We have a lot to do. And since I've become governor, we've been building the great public works projects, some decades in the making, and creating tens of thousands of good-paying union jobs, projects like the Gateway Tunnel under the Hudson, the largest funded infrastructure project in America today. We'll also extend the Second Avenue subway into East Harlem, eliminating a transit desert and creating access to better-paying jobs. And the Interborough Express to connect Brooklyn and Queens. We're making progress. Let's get it done. And reconnect communities like Syracuse that have been severed by I-81. We're almost done, almost getting there. And right here in Albany, the new Livingston Avenue Bridge. We're going to keep moving forward with this, as well as an entire package to help build up the great city of Albany. This year, I'm backing an MTA capital plan, and we must end decades of failure to make the hard but necessary investments in this critical infrastructure. Because if we come up short, the future of our transit system and the economic strength of our state is jeopardized. And we can't talk about the future without talking about education. It is the great equalizer, unlocking opportunity for all. Dad's college degree while he worked at the steel plant lifted my family out of their circumstances and opened the doors to better paying jobs. And working with our legislature, again, I thank you, for the last 2 years, we've more than doubled tuition assistance at SUNY and CUNY and expanded eligibility. But now, we're going even bolder. We're going to make community college completely free for students age 25 to 55. Completely free. Everything. Books, transportation. This will be for those who entered the high-demand fields like advanced manufacturing and healthcare and education. We have so many vacancies. Think about this. If you want to change jobs, you're not sure what to do, you can go back to community college on us, because we know you're going to keep contributing to the great and mighty strength of our state. These are real savings for New Yorkers pursuing careers and puts money back in their pockets while helping us fill these critical jobs in these essential industries. And we will never forget that New York small businesses are the cornerstone of small communities and large communities alike. I know this from having helped my mother and sister start their own small businesses. I understand the challenges they face. And we must create an environment where small businesses feel that the government is not on their backs, but on their sides. Help them prosper and grow. Now, the Industrial Revolution galvanized cities all over the state. I spoke of that. But that economic progress came at a heavy cost. Factories spewed waste and chemicals into Lake Erie. I saw it. I smelled it, stepping over the dead fish on the beach before we went swimming. Yeah, it's a wonder I'm here today. I know this. But today, as we usher in a new innovation revolution, we must learn from those mistakes. And we need look no further than the deadly fires in Los Angeles, a reminder of how fragile our world truly is and what the future will hold if we sacrifice Mother Nature on the altar for profit. Our hearts go out to everyone in California who's lost homes, lost loved ones. And I'm grateful to the firefighters there and the firefighters we have in the state of New York who work 24-hour shifts. They defend their communities from the walls of fire. Thank you to our firefighters. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so proud of the New York National Guardsmen who've been deployed to assist in California. I worry about them. I worry about others. So please join me in a brief silent prayer for the return of them safely and how this community can heal. It's been devastating. Today, we have one of our own brave firefighters here with us, Chief Alex Nichols. Just a few months ago, in the Catskills of all places, he was on the front lines battling one of the worst wildfires our state has ever seen. Thank you. Thank you for your courage today. Thank you. Please stand up. Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you so much. It's not just the wildfires. Just since I've been governor, we've experienced record heat, droughts, floods, tornadoes, blizzards, and hurricanes. It's a lot. And I want to thank all the emergency personnel across our state and our commissioner and everyone else who gets to just doing everything they can to save lives and property. But my fight for your family also means this. We must prevent these catastrophes from becoming our new normal, because we are the first generation to truly experience the effects of climate change, and we are the last generation that can do anything about it. And that's why, despite intense opposition, I signed the Climate Change Superfund Act, passed by the legislature, and declared it should be the big corporate polluters who should pay for the consequences of climate change instead of New York taxpayers. And every other state should follow our lead as well. We've also recommitted to reducing carbon emissions with our offshore wind off the coast of Long Island, hydroelectric power coming in from Quebec to power New York City. And just this year, I'm calling for an historic $1 billion investment to further the transition to a zero-emission economy. We're going to build power-ready sites for green industry. This is the same kind of effort that helped us land Micron and their historic $100 billion investment, which creates 50,000 good-paying jobs in upstate New York. That is the economy of the future. Microchip fabs, data center, and the supercomputers that power AI, they all need tremendous amounts of energy. And to support these industries, we've already started developing additional strategies, like advanced nuclear microprocessors. This is a good investment, because artificial intelligence alone is projected to drive $320 billion of economic growth in our state by 2038. It's already transforming fields from agriculture to medicine. And that's why last year we launched Empire AI to build the most powerful supercomputer in the country for academic research, and it's already happening. Thank you to the legislature for supporting this. It's all part of our effort to create a sustainable economy that can withstand the test of time, because there is no plan B if we fail. Why is this so important to me? Because my fight for your family includes making sure your kids and grandkids can have the jobs of the future right here in the state of New York, powered by clean energy. Now, I've highlighted just a few of the essential elements of my battle plan. I assure you, there are more than 200 proposals in our State of the State book, and you're all going to enjoy reading them late tonight. And thank you to my extraordinary team again, and my policy team, and everyone who worked so hard on this, the budget team, the senior team, the cabinet members. There's no break yet. We have to do the budget next week. Sorry, Blake. But our 2025 blueprint will continue. It'll continue our fight for New York's children and families. So let's recap our priorities. Driving down crime, lowering taxes, investing in childcare and education, jobs, new homes, clean energy, small businesses, and building a strong economy that'll endure for generations. Yes, it's bold, but as Wayne Gretzky once famously said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I'll always take the shot. I've spoken a lot today about families, the shots I've taken and will continue to take. And that caused me to think about my own family, especially my father, who died unexpectedly when I was heading off to Israel in the wake of the October 7th terrorist attack. Right before I was heading into a war zone, I wasn't sure if I should call him and make him worried about me, but I decided to call, and ended up being my final call to him. He said, "Dolly, I'm so proud of you, but keep your goddamn head down." That was my father. But I'm sorry, Dad. I can't keep my head down. Because you taught me you don't keep your head down. You charge into the necessary fights. And as you always said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You compete and you compete hard. And among the values that my parents instilled in me, most importantly, is you always fight the good fight. It is that fighting, competitive spirit of New York that makes us all so great. We see that spirit in the greatness of our champions, like the New York Liberty. Who the leader knows, they went from playing before a few thousand fans at the Westchester County Center to 3 years later becoming national champions in front of wildly enthusiastic sellout crowds, cheered on by those incredible timeless torches. We see it in the Buffalo Bills. Written off after a long 17 years of a playoff drought, now poised for greatness with our own MVP, Josh Allen, leading the charge. Uniting New Yorkers everywhere to believe again. But it's not the winning that defines the champions. It's what they do when they get knocked down, getting back into the fight. And it's not just our star athletes who embrace that competitive spirit. It's embedded in the DNA of everyone who calls themselves a New Yorker. Because we're tough, we're gritty, we're resilient, proud, undaunted in the face of adversity. This is the New York I've witnessed in every corner of this state. I'm in awe of the strength of our families, our seniors, our students, our teachers, our farmers, our veterans, our entrepreneurs. And as Jillian Hainsworth said in her poem, in our home, the sun always rises. Yes, it does, Jillian. The sun always rises in New York. And I'm proud to lead this state through adversity. 3 years ago when I took office, our state was in crisis. We had to take decisive action to right the ship. And despite the many challenges that we see on the horizon, that sun is still shining. We see it in the more than 1 million new businesses that have opened across our state since I took office. 740,000 new jobs, private sector jobs created that we've added. We see it when our LGBTQ plus community feels safe to be themselves. We see it when New Yorkers with disabilities feel supported and empowered. And we see it in the vibe and vitality that has returned to our great cities, from Buffalo to New York City, where the sidewalks are crowded, the restaurants are packed, and Broadway is back. So, as we continue to focus on the many New Yorkers who need our help, let us resolve today to take on those problems with a heart and soul filled with optimism and a faith in our future. That's how we overcame the Great Depression and inflation in the 70s, the downfall of industry, 9/11, the Great Recession, a global pandemic. Because this is the Empire State, a place of comebacks. We overcome adversity. It's who we are. And we get knocked down, or anyone gets knocked down, we'll make sure they can get right back up again. Because your family is my fight, and I'll never, ever stop fighting for the great state of New York. Thank you very much, everybody, and go Bills!
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and shout.